Last night, we were talking about conversion, and one of the levels of conversion that I brought up was socio-political conversion. And so I want to focus with the scriptures today on socio-political conversion. And I think we have to start with that word faith. We have to look at this word. Because just because we have it does not necessarily make it good. The amount of it, if you listen to Jesus today, doesn't seem to matter. But what motivates it? You know, faith of a mustard seed. Little faith could move things. I think we fall into a trap, especially in politics, in the political arena, just because we use that word God or faith. Is it good or is it dangerous? Does it have good motivations or bad motivations? And I think you can find this on both the right and the left. And I kind of go to this first reading today. And it's kind of a comes from the Hebrew scriptures of our Jewish brothers and sisters. That we need a faith that we can wear and walk in this world with. But it's been a part of our history, and especially on the far right, in the last 100 years, you know, you hear that movement towards the promised land, and it's kind of a manifest destiny that Americans can fall into. So we can be pretty warlike and conquer and take and attack people different to us. It's dangerous. It's a faith that's taken out of context of our scriptures. But we can find these dangers on the far left too. Because I've read some of this with politics and theology that kind of, let's not deal with this Old Testament stuff. Because God kind of seems, you know, there seems to be some violence here. And let's just dismiss that and focus on the God of love in the New Testament. That can be dangerous. I have to take the text as a whole, recognizing it's a human book, but also a divine book, that God's revelation is unfolding in creation. And that brings us, yesterday I said, Augustine said, to know yourself is to know God. Thomas Aquinas in the Middle Ages had another bold statement. A mistake about the earth, earthiness, creation, fleshiness, a mistake about the earth is a mistake about God. I think we have to look at that. This is a few years ago, but we heard something like 65% of Americans don't believe in evolution. And then, you know, we had this document, Our Common Home. And if we don't believe in global warming, makes it pretty easy to move out of the Paris Agreement. It's our faith grounded in earthiness. And I think a lot in our churches, and this is whether it's Catholic, but my experience are Protestant brothers and sisters as well, we've kind of got stuck in the Middle Ages. And there was a shift in our faith in the Middle Ages. And church leadership were very threatened by that. Because what came to be, again, is the way we view the earth, the way we view the world, the universe changed with the development of the modern telescope. And so now, we're moving. We're not static. The earth is moving with other planets around the sun. And now we've been reduced with other planets to a spinning universe. You know, it's moving fast. And so how does the church leadership say, well, we can't handle that. We're not going to deal with that. So we take this fellow who proved this, Galileo, and we put him under house arrest. And yet, if you look at that, you know, we've got to see things different as Revelation unfolds, as we understand creation differently. And you see, what happened, and we had really never moved out of that dimension in many ways, is it's affected our faith because we see God up there, out there. And this is His trap. You know, I even find myself doing this sometimes. Like, where's there? God out there, God up there. But what about the God of, like, that spinning universe is unfolding within us? And so then we create a hierarchical structure. And it sucks up our liturgy all the time. You know, priest here, sister here, lay people here. And we got to climb up that ladder. And every once in a while we had a reformer who, you know, we affirm now, but we were pretty hard on at the time. Like this woman, Jane DeShanto, and Francis de Sales, who basically were saying, you know, the incarnation unfolds differently in different aspects of creation. A baker brings out the fleshiness of Jesus in a different way than a mother or someone in politics, or a lawyer, or someone, a farmer, or whatever that might be. And that if we try to put ourselves in that, it's not a faith we can't wear. We can't wear. Because it's got to follow how we're moving in creation. And this is the gift of the incarnation. And then he goes a little further, and I don't want to get too deep into that, but this fellow comes along by the name of Descartes. And I think, therefore, I am. And so then, as churches, oftentimes, we get very, very mechanistic. You know, if everything's spinning, all I know, I'm thinking, and I'm going to control it. So, follow the law. And you get blessed. Sin, come get forgiven. You get real, real mechanical. So because we don't deal with this process, then that's why we even see this in our churches. Because, you know, we're program oriented. And we can't allow that grace to unfold. We gotta impose a doctrine. And that brings us to a great thinker who helps us deal with this issue. And we got to deal with the earth. A mistake about the earth is a mistake about God. And that is Teilhard de Chardin. And he's a Jesuit, and he spent deep time with the earth in the whole mass of the universe. And says it's not a theory, it's the way things are. It's the way life is. And if we really want a Christian faith in the real world, we got to deal with this deep time. 13 billion years old. And this fleshy unfolding of the incarnation taking place. 400,000 years for life to come along. So how did the church deal with him? Boy, this guy's trouble. So we ostracize him out to China. He can't say the Mass because, you know, he's a priest. And so he comes up with this awesome thing, the Mass of the Universe. And he uses the earthiness of creation and its unfolding as his liturgy. And then we move from there. Because by the power of Pentecost and Second Vatican II, 62 to 65, we bring these things to the forefront. And they work their way, but have they really? Are we open to it? And this God is more exciting than our hierarchical structure or our mechanistic God. This God takes risks. This God is creative. This God involves law, chance, time. We are moving. And it's an exciting adventure of discipleship. And so we start to think differently, hopefully. So it's no longer up-down, but it's inward, forward, and evolving as creation goes. And we're a part of that. And this is rooted in our scriptures. You know, we focused so much on the fall of Adam and all of that. But Don Scotus many, many years ago said that if we think about it, God didn't come because of sin. God came because of love. And to enter into that whole process of the unfolding. And so we don't have to get hung up or be scandalized that we can continue to move in that energy of the universe, that energy of the Spirit of God in us, love that moves creation forward. And we're not it. So you take Ilya Delio, who's another theologian into this stuff. You take, let's say, a group of encyclopedias, 30 volumes. Where the last page of the 30th volume of those encyclopedias. And so, would the decisions we make matter? So we can no longer be passive in this. But we're on the end of that arrow. And that especially, we are creation itself coming into that wholeness, coming into that more consciousness, that there's always more that the Lord has for us. And so then, if we look at that, there is something about it that does make us a little edgy. That we're not allowed to remain secure and comfortable. It's not finished. We're not it. It's not over. You know, that it's still happening. And there's a challenge in our world today because we're kind of living a new age where, you know, where even scientists say maybe consciousness is changing. Because, you know, remember how many of you might have struggled when you use the computer and then a 7-year-old gets on and just that it's changing even this way that we see. But I mean, that's part of it because we're becoming more global. So I can think about someone in Iraq or Afghanistan or, you know, our unity as a human race. But then we're not real patient with time, are we? You know, if this thing's unfolding over billions and billions of years. So if we look at that, I think we can see that a creation is just not ours. That we can't be greedy. So we can go back to this reading and look at, you know, the earth, and it's a gift. It belongs to each of us. And you know, you hear the land and the plants and the work of it. It's all gift. And then we get Francis, who says, it's our common home. You know, moving us away. He's a chemist. He believes in evolution. He believes in global warming. That this matters. That this is evolving towards something that we have to play an active role in. It's not instantaneous, but we can see it in motion. So what if we look at our little faith that way? That we take seriously the earth. And I've experienced that. Like, I'm still being challenged in this. But to get close to the earth when I pray. And take the Gospels that way. That the disciples have little faith. But the incarnation is unfolding in them. And it's moving forward. You know, maybe the problem in the Gospel was they weren't committed to the process. You know, maybe it was their motives that were there. But it wasn't the littleness of the faith. But they could move in that. And the good news is if you look at the Gospels, it's unfolding. You know, they're going to fall, they're going to deny, they're going to make mistakes. And yet that's not it. Because that movement of the incarnation continues to do something and transform these men and women, and they're spinning. That life is continuing. And so then what if we took that into consideration with our liturgy today? What if we got real earthy with it? You know, let's not think about the priest's hands. Let's think about those who grew the wheat. Let's think about the grapes. Let's think about a parishioner of mine who talks about making wine and it, taking your shoes off and the bare feet and stomping the grapes. Let's think about the bakers. Let's think about the truck drivers. Let's think about all of creation and how it's moving us forward. That very fleshy, ordinary stuff is being transformed more and more into the kingdom of God. And then let's look at this universal prayer and not just think about God bless America, but God bless Afghanistan and Iraq and North Korea and trouble, that we belong to this global world and that God's love and concern is for all of it. And let's be patient with ourselves, but let's move. And I think that makes us edgy. You know, because we reach stages of life where we want to arrive. And we have to accept that grace is way too exciting to make us arrive. So I'd like to end with a quote from Cailliard, who had to wrestle with this spinning universe and grace unfolding in him and feeling a little edgy, but being transformed. And this is what he says. Above all, trust in the slow work of God. We are quite naturally impatient in everything, to reach the end without delay. We should like to skip the intermediate stages. We are impatient on the way to something unknown, something new. And yet it is the law of all progress. That it is passing through some stages of instability and that it might take a very, very long time. And so I think it is with you. Your ideas mature gradually. Let them grow. Let them shape themselves without undue haste. Do not try to force them on as though you could be today what time, that is grace and circumstances, acting on your own goodwill, will make of you tomorrow. Only God could say what this new spirit gradually forming in you will be. Give our Lord the benefit of believing that His hand is leading you, and accept the anxiety of feeling yourself in suspense and incomplete. Above all, trust in the slow work of God, our loving vine dresser. Amen.